Hey, Hicken here. Thanks for checking out the 1010XL On Demand. It's brought to you by Kuhn Flowers. Locations on Beach Boulevard and in Ponte Vedra. Kuhn Flowers wants to be your florist.
And now, Rick Ballew takes you into the night on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
That's good to have you with us right here on a Tuesday evening, a very busy Tuesday, including Tuesday morning. The Jaguars back at it, the first of three mandatory minicamp, and it was an interesting one, to say the least. It all began with Doug Marrone, some early morning comments, and then the team practiced for a little bit more than 2 hours. Then Jalen Ramsey came to the microphone and really was classic Jalen. To watch him kind of evolve over the years, came forward with a statement today. We're going to play a lot of this for you coming up here momentarily. For those who did not get an opportunity today to hear what Jalen had to say, it was really interesting. For the most part, you know, remembering Jalen from the time that he got here and he was drafted number one overall and his initial press conference that they held in the locker room, that's where they did it in that particular year, and to see how friendly he was, how excited he was. Dare I say, even the slightest, tiniest bit of maybe even being humble about the moment. Now, that's certainly not the way that he is on the field and, you know, the way that he's kind of grown off the field, but at that moment he was. I thought today was interesting. It was a new Jalen Ramsey, a tad bit of maturation as far as the way that he handled the local media today. And it was certainly interesting, but I mean, it just really at this particular point becomes so interesting to try to figure out because he's unlike really any star that I've ever covered. Charlie Ward and Warwick Dunn were very silent in what they did, and they were both great leaders, and that was at a totally different level. That was at a collegiate level. But I'm trying to remember whether it's been here or Chicago. I've only been three places, Tallahassee, Jacksonville, and Chicago. But I can't think of another guy who has the clout, who has the respect, who has the swagger like Jalen Ramsey has, yet he doesn't feel comfortable playing the role as the team's leader. He's not made that way. And it's really unlike anything else that I've ever seen. I mean, typically there are guys who don't have nearly enough talent. They're average football players to below average football players. And if you make the NFL, oh, by the way, you're phenomenal. But I'm talking about at that level. But they're rah-rah guys, and they're leaders in the locker room and leaders in the clubhouse and leaders on the sideline. But they don't always lead on the field. They're there to offer support and, you know, a tremendous teammate. Now, those people are very important. But it's often rare, in my opinion, to have a guy this talented, yet he doesn't want to be a leader. And I can't think of one that was close to that in Jaguars history. You know, you go back to their great days in 96 through 99. The best players on the team were also very good leaders in different ways. Mark Burnell was a tremendous leader. Tony Boselli, for the time he got here as a top pick, was a great leader. It didn't happen overnight for Jimmy Smith and Keenan McCardell, but they became very good leaders of that football team. And that's the way it was. Fred Taylor, when he was a rookie, changed from the time that, you know, Nate Means left, that James Stewart left. Freddie became the guy who had the ball. I mean, listen to Maurice Jones-Drew talk about what Fred Taylor meant to him as a leader. I mean, defensively, you had some guys who were a little bit older who led in different ways. Look at what happened with Clyde Robinson. Okay, look at a guy like Jeff Loggeman. Look at a guy like John Yurkovich, who was like a cult hero. Very, 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 very average football player. Very average football player. Clyde Simmons, I want to say. I said Clyde Robinson, I apologize. It was certainly Clyde Simmons. I think he spoke once a week, okay? But he was a grizzled vet who had been around, part of the wars, playing in the NFC East. And when he spoke, People reacted. Okay? Defensively. Kevin Hart, a great player. He had a guy like Tony Brackens is a little bit like Jalen, but in a totally separate type of way. Tony Brackens, to me, was just kind of a shy guy, kind of someone who really didn't want to speak to the media. That's how I knew him. Now, I heard of a totally different T-Brack. I remember doing a radio interview with him, 8 or 9 years ago, and I asked if he could change one thing, and he's like, he's born again now, very spiritual now. Talked about his days back when he was running and ripping and how he regretted that and how he wished he could go back and change all that. So I guess there were two sides to him. Again, when we walked in as a member of the media, he was one way. And he was often a trainer's table guy. There wasn't a lot of them back in the mid to late 90s. Brackens was. There were often times when you'd go in there to interviews and he would never be around. He was going to get himself worked on. In the trainer's room. That was really never the case for the other leaders on that football team. So I'm trying to do my best to try to look at the 25 years of the great history of this franchise. Great history. All right, I'm on the payroll. Let me rearrange that. 25 years worth of the history of the Jacksonville Jaguars. And I can't compare Jalen to really anyone else. I liked what he said today. He was honest. The man was honest. He's not a guy that is going to be a rah-rah in your face telling you how to play your position, telling you how to do things. He talked about the young safeties today. It would have been so obvious for about any other cornerback in the league. A.J. Bouye talked about it a couple of weeks ago during OTAs, about how the leadership comes into mind, about how being a guy who has started in this league for several years comes into play. To work with the young members that are now part of your safety. Two new safeties, less than 10 career starts. Jalen's like, no, that's not me. So, guys are ripping them. I mean, of course, Twitter's undefeated. I mean, you could line up Twitter right now. Twitter would knock out Muhammad Ali in his prime, Mike Tyson in his prime, Joe Louis in his prime, Sugar Ray Robinson in his prime. Twitter's undefeated. Okay, and there are people taking shots at Jalen today, local folks here in town. That's understandable, okay? You feel that way, that's fine. But some of the trash that has gone through my timeline is beyond bizarre. I had one guy a couple of hours ago tell me that Jalen doesn't tackle. And that in itself right there is probably the biggest problem I have with Twitter. And in a situation like sports, it's fine. Because, it's just a bunch of bros and some ladies having a good time, talking about what you like and what you don't like. But that kind of gets me off on a tangent that these same people will look at something on Twitter, and if they really respect that individual and follow that individual, it becomes almost science to them. And we see that in the world to begin with, or in the political world. A movie star, a rock star, an athlete will make a comment about a party, and some knucklehead will see it on Twitter, and just because they see it on Twitter, if he or she said it and I adore them, then I believe it. Well, this guy today, I don't know who he is. I'll look it up here in a minute. Actually, I don't even care who he is. Said Jalen doesn't tackle. Now, whether you love Jalen, like Jalen, or dislike Jalen, you can't sit there and tell me that Jalen Ramsey is not a physical cornerback and the best all-around corner in the NFL. All right? He does it all. Not only does he hit, he enjoys that aspect of the game. That's just wrong. And again, Twitter's undefeated, but there is a lot of filth on there. There's a lot of crap on there. Don't believe everything that you see. There are a ton of morons that are out there as well. I mean, if you want to rip him and say he's not a team guy and he's not a great leader, okay, have at it. But don't make stuff up like he can't tackle and he doesn't want to tackle. You're making it seem like he's Deion Sanders. Deion Sanders didn't like the tackle. Jalen Ramsey loves the tackle. And for anyone who's watched 3 years of his career, to say anything outside of that is beyond absurd. So anyway, there is a lot of stuff out there this afternoon and into the night. And, you know, we're going to talk about all that, the good as well as some of the bad. It was overall a very interesting day. So we'll come back. We'll get into Jalen Ramsey here and the comments that he did make. Some good stuff. His address was spot on. His comment on Yannick Ngakoue, I thought, was very well thought out. His support for Telvin Smith, who he goes on to say he talks with daily. It just got me wondering again. I mean, here's Jalen. He says he talks to Telvin daily. We still don't know what's going on with Telvin. But Jalen goes on again to say, I just wish people would leave him alone. And then, of course, he mentioned his contract. He's got 2 years remaining. For those who do not know, this is the final year of his rookie contract, and then the fifth-year team option has already been picked up. So Jalen Ramsey is signed through 2019, and he is signed through 2020. He is in the books for two more years as a member of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Well, the contract actually did come up today, and I asked him this.
Was any explanation given to you as why? I mean, they don't have the money now that they've had in years past.
Money's always there, my guy. Money's always there. But like I said, that's all I'll say about it. I'm happy to be here. I want to be a part of the team, but it won't happen this year. I'll just say that.
I get called a lot of things. I don't think I've ever been called my guy. So this is a badge of honor for the truth teller tonight. Matter of fact, LeVay, let's play that every segment. Tonight, tomorrow night, Thursday night, Friday night, until my vacation. I've been called every word imaginable in my lifetime. But I don't think I've ever been called my guy.
You better believe I'm going to cut that clip up literally right now, exactly where he says, my guy.
The money is always there, my guy. That was Jalen Ramsey a little bit earlier this afternoon. Actually, it was late in the morning, and it's early out there. They'll do it again tomorrow. Then they'll do it on Thursday, and then they'll break camp, and you'll get about five or so weeks off before Jaguars training camp 2019 officially does get underway. All right, let me come back. Let's get into Jalen a little bit more. Let's play some of the comments that he made today during his presser. We also have some other things to get into. You know, a lot of good things that happened today, some encouraging things, including possibly Josh Allen, Benny Cunningham, Cam Robinson. Also, some things that aren't as encouraging, health-related. So we'll get into all of that as well. As we get things rolling right here on a Tuesday edition, glad you're with us. We go into the night with Rick Ballew.
Into the night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, we go to 10 o'clock tonight. We push things back on Tuesday because of the ladies of Helmets and Heels. So Blue till 10, and then tomorrow night back to our regular rotation, 7 to 9. That'll be Wednesday night, Thursday night, and Friday night. The 1010XL text line is up and available. Hit me there. It's 641-1010 or on Twitter tonight. Blue, B-A-L-L-O-U. 1010XL, if you feel like, you can also go there and look at some of those things in my timeline, including Jalen Ramsey doesn't tackle. I was reading something earlier today. I think he's fifth in tackles since he came into the league 3 years ago. I mean, fifth overall is a cornerback in tackles. That's not a guy who shies away from contact. Again, I'm not trying to discourage you if you want to criticize someone for something, but you just can't throw stuff out there. Since entering the league in 2016, this is from Field Yates, Jalen Ramsey has started all 48 games. Okay, he's got 44 pass breakups, fourth among DBs, 9 picks, which is tied for fifth, 193 tackles, tied for sixth among DBs. 193 tackles in 3 years. So, crazy stuff. All right, let's begin with Jalen. Let's stay with Jalen. He was not here, as we know, for 3 weeks worth of OTAs. When he met the media today, he took it upon himself to deliver an opening statement.
I've kind of spoken to it before in the past. I feel like once you get to year four and things like this, people expect you to just put yourself in a leadership role. And I know some of those questions may be coming up and people may be wondering about that. And my feeling has always been on that, that I don't want to be, like, that's not something that, you can force. I want to continue being myself, being even more supportive of my teammates as I can be, and leading kind of from behind the scenes and by actions more so than kind of, I don't know, breaking down the team and giving speeches to the team and stuff. That's just not my, that's not how I view leadership. I think there's different ways to lead.
All right. So this is the way he began things today. And again, this is a little bit different than the way he's handled things throughout the first 3 years of his career. So, I mean, the wheels are spinning. I'm like, this is interesting. Obviously, he thought about this before he elected to speak today. And I thought it was interesting. But again, I'm trying to figure everything out. And I think you are, as a fan as well. What do you expect out of Jalen Ramsey? Do you want him to be a tremendous leader? I mean, I've said it many, many, many times over. That defense has so many type A guys. Now, many of them are now gone, but a lot of vocal, rah-rah leaders on that defense. And there wasn't one that was bigger and louder and had more of a presence than Telvin Smith. Now, I know Telvin didn't play well last year, but don't let that get lost in what he has done in his career. A tremendous leader. And, you know, I kind of felt the turn this year by some of the Jaguars media, some in the Jaguars building, and some that are Jaguar fans. And, hey, listen, that stuff happens all the time in professional athletics. All the time. But still, you can't erase that. Calais Campbell's a silent leader. Paul Posluszny was a silent leader. I always thought Aaron Colvin was extremely vocal. All right, Barry Church was a guy who didn't always say all that much, but when he did, it kind of grabbed your attention. All right? Who's the leader right now on this defense? Unique at times kind of drifts away, does his own thing, which is fine. Dante Fowler was a total space shot. I mean, he was on planet Pluto. The only thing I saw that was worse than him was Andre Branch. I honestly do not know if Andre Branch knew what year it was when he was playing. That's how out to Mars he was. Nice kid. Decent practice player. Looked good in the locker room, but come game day? What the hell are you doing, Andre Branch? You know, you had fake leaders. Jared Odrick. What a turd. Okay? There's a fake leader. Not a real leader. And what I mean by that is that to be a leader, your message is not going to be heard unless you're a great player at this level. You can get away with that in high school. You can get away with that to some extent in college. Not in the NFL. You cannot pull it off. That's why Jared Odrick couldn't pull it off. Okay? He was an off-the-wall guy. He thought he was kind of zen and a Hollywood script writer and all that. Well, the players thought he was a joke because he couldn't play. And facts are facts. It's tough to get a combination of a great player who's a great leader. So this is the approach that Jalen comes forward with today. I mean, I never, ever, I could have written 50 different, 100 different approaches by Jalen today. And if you had told me he's going to make an initial conversation, a statement, the leadership route, and in this case, the lack of it, I never thought he would have gone down that road. So he did. And that has really kind of stirred some things up in this city. I respect him for doing it, for letting us know that that's the way it is. Now, if you go back and really listen closely to what he said, there are still ways that he can lead this football team. And I have watched him do that over the last 3 years, and you have as well. You can lead in different ways, in different areas. There's different tactics. But is he going to be take the helmet, smash it against the wall, rah-rah guy? That's not his identity. But still, very surprised that he came forward and said it that way to begin the press conference today. He then went on to talk about the offseason and why he elected to stay in Tennessee and not work here in Jacksonville.
Of course, this offseason I chose to stay home, just like last offseason. I think that is the best plan for me. I know my body very well. I know the team around me. I trust the team around me. I've been working really hard. Of course, the plus is getting able to spend time with my family back in Nashville. So that's been amazing.
You know, he went on and talked about how some early camps put a wear and tear in his body and that he was nicked up. And if you remember earlier in his career, that was a little bit of a concern. Again, this guy's played in all 48 games as a Jacksonville Jaguar. But he was a little nicked up. And his opinion is, I'm going to miss camp. I missed it a year ago. I missed it this year because I know my body. He said that a few times today. And again, I'm not telling you how to react, to agree or disagree. I know old school nation is going to pound a rock right now and say he should be there. He should be there each and every day. That's your opinion, fine. I know the other school is going to say this is voluntary. He doesn't have to be there. I think there's also a third camp out there that sounds a little bit like this. He's Jalen Ramsey. Keep him in bubble wrap until September 8th. I mean, don't even play Jalen in the preseason games. He's Jalen freaking Ramsey. Don't even play him. Don't even practice him. Fly him in for games like the dude from Ridgemont High. Fast Times at Ridgemont High. I mean, I think there's a school of thought out there. There's a contingency of listeners who believe that that's the rule. And you know what? While you're at it, put Fournette in there only because Fournette has been brittle in his career. Jalen hasn't. Jalen never missed a game at Florida State. Jalen hasn't missed a game in the NFL. Fournette's got the label of being brittle. I mean, if you hear Fournette's got a soft tissue injury in August, are any one of you out there going to be surprised? Mm-mm. I thought Fournette looked pretty good today. The reason why you want Fournette out there is to learn the offense, to learn the scheme, to learn the cadence, to learn where to line up. More of a mental thing than a physical thing for Leonard Fournette. John DeFilippo is in. It's a new offense. We're looking at some new things. You got a new quarterback there in Nick Foles. You know, Fournette's going to be, you hope, used in a situation where they're throwing to him out of the backfield. Who knows? He could be a third down back. We don't know. But I think him learning the offense, learning the plays, learning everything is more important than just physically being out there, you know, working up a lather. Because he's been a risk, injury related. Jalen Ramsey today showed leadership in this particular way. I think that there are some, possibly many, who look at Jalen as a prima donna, who look at Jalen as a guy who only cares about himself. Well, today he took it upon himself to speak on Yannick Ngakoue. In my opinion, this shows team leadership.
I'm going to continue being as supportive of my teammates as I can. Jan right now, he's not here, of course. Me personally, I think Jan has earned a contract. I think he deserves it. That's something that, you know, his team and the Jags will have to figure out, and I hope they can figure it out because I definitely want him part of this team.
Good job by LeVay, who hasn't mailed it. I didn't even give you the number, and you're able to pick up on that.
I'm always on it.
You got your A game tonight.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, I think right now on Into the Night with Rick Bowie, you're specifying that you've become a team leader.
I'd like to think so.
Yeah, that was a move right there. Hey, you know what? Would Jalen have thought that way a year ago? Would he have thought that way 2 years ago? And I know it's an unfair question because he wouldn't have been close to being talked about for a contract extension. And, you know, obviously in Jalen's world, he'd like to get paid now. He's not going to get paid for two more years. But, you know, here's the guy who keeps saying, you know, I'm not a leader, I'm not going to do this and that. But he comes right out in front of everyone else and says, Jan should be paid. Isn't that right there? Being a leader? I mean, I don't want to disrespect anyone else on this 90-man roster. But just go through it and think about how many other players on this team. It was open locker room today. I have an interview coming up in a little bit with Juwan Taylor, the second-round draft pick out of Florida. And, you know, participated in some other interviews that took place today. And I'll do the same tomorrow and Thursday. A lot of people are being asked about Yannick Ngakoue. It kind of goes in one ear and out the other. There's only a couple of guys on the team where if they really say something about this, you stop and you take notice. Ramsey's one of those guys. So again, I look at things perhaps differently than you do. Let me know on the text line, 641-1010. Built by Lifetime Enclosures, our 1010XL text line. I mean, did that say anything to you about him being a leader? Or was that maybe the standard, oh, well, what do you expect him to say? You know, so fine, let me know. Give me your opinion on that. All right, let's get to Telvin now. This surprised me as well because, you know, I know Calais had spoken with him, Miles had spoken with him. I hadn't heard of a lot. Todd Wash has spoken with him. But, you know, you can basically count on one hand the people who have talked to Telvin Smith since he announced that he was not going to play for the Jaguars this year. That certainly does now include Jalen Ramsey.
I've talked to Telvin. I'll kind of say the same thing. Me and Telvin talk every single day. We talked last night again, and everybody knows Telvin's that's like another big brother to me. That's my brother since day one. And he has full support from me. He knows that. Yeah, and that's all I'll say on that. I wish people would leave him alone a little bit. Yeah, we all love football dearly, of course, but that is not everything. I'll just say that. It's not everything. He has a life. He's enjoying himself. He's, you know, getting right, doing what he feels is right in the right mind frame. I just want everybody, Jags fans, teammates, players, whoever, I want everybody to be supportive, and I know I definitely am.
All right, Jalen on Telvin. Again, I'm going to look at that as another example of leadership. Am I overdoing it? Well, so let me know on the text line, 641-1010. I want to end on a positive note, so let's do two more. Let's begin with the contract extension. The non, what is it again? The money is always there, my guy. This is the non-answer to that. He was asked about the overall extension, and Jalen a little bit long-winded and maybe even surprising to some when he had this to say.
I will not be getting a contract extension this year. Y'all take it however y'all may want to take that. But I'm excited to be, as long as I'm a part of this organization, as long as I'm a part of Duval County, I'm going to give the city and the players all I got. And I think y'all know that.
All right, that was a shorter version. But, you know, he wanted to say that obviously he's not going to get paid. And you know what? He didn't pout. He wasn't crying. He didn't even seem that disappointed. I think reality had set in. Jalen's also a smart guy. He knows the league. He understands the situation. The Jaguars, even though he did respond to me by saying, and I quote, the money is always there, my guy, that the Jaguars don't have the funds right now to pay him, and that Yannick Ngakoue needs to be taken care of before Jalen Ramsey. He's a smart enough guy to know and to understand that. All right, let's wrap on a positive. He was asked today about the rookie, Josh Allen, who unfortunately still unable to give it a go today during day one of mandatory minicamp. You know, working on the side, but, you know, that's disappointing. To get out there every day and be lucky enough to watch these guys work, I really want to see what this young man can do. Where are they going to line him up, and where are they going to move him along? And, you know, what are they? We haven't been able to see anything because he bumped his knee during that very first OTA. And, you know, you just hope he gets ready in the next 5.5 weeks and he's ready for training camp when that starts in very, very late July. Jalen Ramsey today on the first-round draft pick, Josh Allen.
I watched him in college, and I thought he was a dog. I thought he was a good player, and I definitely thought he was the best player in this draft. I got to see him when he was in Orlando for their bowl game. He had like 4 sacks, I want to say. And then after the game, just his swag and his whole demeanor about it, he was like, you know, if I'm not the number one overall pick, then I don't know who will be. And that's just like, yeah, that's me right there. Y'all know I love that. So that type of mentality, as well as, you know, actually putting it out there on the field, that's what I'm all about. And I think he's going to fit in well.
I don't think it's a bigger compliment from Josh Allen than to be called the dog by Jalen Ramsey. And he was referred to that this morning after day one of mandatory minicamp. All right, we got much more to get into. Let's come back and take a look at some other things that that did take place today with the Jaguars that are non-Jalen Ramsey related. Also coming up at 8 o'clock tonight, Ann Liguori is going to join us on WFAM and CBS Sports Radio. She's at Pebble Beach covering the United States Open, which will begin on Thursday. So she'll join us tonight as well, coming up at 9 Eastern as we continue to go into the night with Rick Ballew. All right, I want to move on to other things, but I just checked the text line, the 1010XL text line, and it is burning up tonight. And the people are out there, and some of them are vultures. The 8078 says Jalen is the 26th-ranked cornerback. Laughing my ass off. We caught corners that are higher ranked than this. Sorry, you know what? It's not 2017. Rick, really? And what are you referring to? Is this like some graphic or statistic on Pro Football Focus or something like that? Can you share that with me? Because I want to look at it. I need material. I need input. I need facts. The 5553 says, I'm good with Ramsey leading by example. The best player on the team in this position should be looked up to. All right. I think he's the best player on the team, period. Not his position. He's the best player on the team. I mean, who else? Honestly. Who's better on the football team right now than Jalen Ramsey? I think Calais Campbell had a better year than he had. Okay, but he's 33. Unique. More important position, yeah. I'll listen to you there. But kind of lost in all of this as we get to Josh Allen. Has Unique lost negotiating power because of the Josh Allen selection? Absolutely he has. Whether you want to face that or not, they drafted a guy at the same position. They drafted a guy who's bigger and certainly comes in with a much larger pedigree than Yannick Ngakoue did. Now, Yannick Ngakoue has outplayed his contract. Made $3.5 million over 4 years. This is year four. He's going to make $2,025,000. He has earned a raise. And I'm going to stay with what I've said all along. I think he gets that by camp. I think he gets this contract in the next 5 weeks. Unless the Jaguars are going to play some hardball here. And they're going to wonder aloud as to whether or not they really think that at 6'2", 245, whatever he is, that he can hold up in this league. And then by getting a guy like Josh Allen, you know, at 6'5", 265, that they believe he's the heir apparent and their money's going elsewhere. I don't know. I'm just thinking out loud here. But it does affect him, in my opinion, as far as negotiating is concerned. If Jacksonville had Taven Bryan from a year ago and drafted a quarterback this year, like I wanted them to do, before they signed Nick Foles, then he wouldn't have the net negotiating power. He has it right now. Or the team has it. Now, he's still going to get paid. I mean, look at the incredible amounts of money that Clark made and Dee Ford made and Dexter Lawrence made and some of these ridiculous defensive lineman contracts that have been signed, both, you know, inside and outside. Unique's going to get paid here. It's not a matter of if. It's a matter of when. But I do believe the Jaguars have some negotiating power. They have to be careful, too. If you PO him, he may not show up till week 11. That possibility is there. And they can always play him out this year and then slap a franchise tag on him and tag and trade, like we saw Seattle and Kansas City do this past year. And they got value for it, as opposed to doing the route of New England, who just let another defensive lineman, Trey Flowers, go for nothing. They got a third-round compensatory pick. So if you're Dave Caldwell and you're Tom Coughlin and you're considering moving on from him, you absolutely are going to put the franchise tag on him. That's what Texas is doing right now with Jadeveon Clowney, who's not showing up. He's all PO'd. Guys hate to be tagged. Now, again, I don't think it's going to happen. I think that they're going to get a deal done before camp gets underway. Allen was on the side today, and again, that's a disappointment to me. I understand why hurry. You know, it's a precaution. I get all that. But, you know, for my own eyes, I wanted to watch him work, and we've missed a month now. This is week four, three OTA weeks, and now this week of mandatory minicamp. We're not going to be able to see him do anything. Cam Robinson was there today. That was nice. I think I saw Cam in two of the earlier workouts, showed up very, very late doing his work inside. He was on the side today. Phillip Heilemann caught up with him, and Heilemann put today in the Florida Times Union that it's possible that Robinson could be back for the beginning of training camp. That is really positive because we know that that is not going to be the case for Marquise Lee, who was working on the side today as well. We spoke with Lee, I think it was last week. Sorry, these all run together. As well as Keenan McCardell. Lee's goal is to be ready by week one. Keenan McCardell said a realistic goal would have him back a few weeks in the training camp. Okay, I think it's a really good chance right now that you don't see Marquise Lee playing any one of the four preseason games. And you just try to get him ready for Kansas City. Cam Robinson's a different story. I mean, what's going to happen there? Josh Wells? And that's where they went to a year ago when Robinson got hurt. Wells had a groin. He missed 2 months. Now, there's a guy that is part of that P label. Okay, potential, but can't stay healthy. A boy he is well, working out of both tackles. So, you know, good to see Cam Robinson out there today. To me, that was something that I did like. Jake Ryan, more on the side today. And it seems like everything I've seen him before on the side was basically just on the bike. No, today on the side. And, you know, I know Jake was quoted as saying a few weeks ago that he hoped to be back for mandatory minicamp. It looks like that's not going to be the case. Doing some side work today. Raquel Armstead as well. So those are the guys working on the side. Very limited today were Andrew Norwell and A.J. Boye, two starters. All right? Concerned with both. And Norwell's the highest paid left guard in the NFL. Boye is one of the highest paid corners in the NFL. I'm concerned. Yeah, hopefully they're ready by the start of training camp. Yes, for those two, no need to really do anything with them now. Get him ready for late July, early August. Benny Cunningham, in the same story here by Heilemann on the Times Union, said that Cunningham hopes to be ready to give it a go tomorrow. Yes, I want to see it. Okay, because I still don't know what's going on with the third down back. I mean, I, for one, would love to see this team make a move and get Duke Johnson. Okay, I don't know who the third down back is, and we talk about it all the time here on the program. But Benny Cunningham is a guy who keeps on getting mentioned for this particular job. And we haven't seen him do anything yet. Hopefully we get a taste of that tomorrow on Wednesday. That would be a good deal. Really like to see what he's all about. Again, I have been very impressed with Thomas Rawls. He's been the back that has shown me more than anything so far. And, you know, both him and Alfred Blue want to believe that they're every down backs and that they're going to be the guys, veterans in the league, who get the opportunity when Fournette is on the sideline. Well, he also drafted a guy in Raquel Armstead who is built that way. Really looks like a classic two-down, big physical back that, you know, if the Jaguars are able to really run the football, you get this kid lathered up. Could be something there that's pretty impressive. I don't know where I saw it the other night. They were ranking backfields. They had the Jaguars 29th in the NFL. Sometimes I hate rankings. 29th in the NFL. I mean, I've tried to be all positive here in this very first hour. I'm getting paid tonight on my positivity. But you rank skill positions, wide receivers, running backs, if you just rank them, 1 through 32, where are the Jags in both those positions right now? They're going to be disappointing. Now, there's room for enormous growth. You know the roster. I know the roster. You know the situation with these players. If you flip the switch, you catch lightning in a bottle, give me any type of cliche you want. But realistically, what are the chances of all these things happening? Okay. If you can get more than half to work, that's probably a good thing. If you can get them all to work, then all of a sudden it explodes. And what if this Benny Cunningham guy is a third down back? And Thomas Rawls can be a third down back. And Rock Armstead all of a sudden is a guy who can spell Leonard Fournette. And all of a sudden you get into series number three and there's 2 minutes to go in the first quarter. And it's first and 10. And the Jaguars are running Armstead on first and second down. And it's third and two, and here comes Fournette as your third down back. Now, who knows? And Conley, who continues to show some good things. And Cole, they're progressing. And Marquise Lee is healthy. And Dede gets better. And DJ Chark is at a tremendous camp. Conley, Chark, and Cole can get downfield. And Nick Foles is throwing the football. Okay, these are all huge what-ifs. I mean, you can take glass half-empty guy, and you can poo-poo every single example I just gave you. You know you can. You absolutely can. But I'm being paid on my positivity tonight. And I'm going to stay. It's June 11th. I'm staying with that. No booing here. No Toronto out of me. I ain't booing any of this tonight. God, what a bad look for Toronto last night. Just terrible. Just totally awful. I'll talk about that in a little bit. I took a lot of crap last night for my comments on Mike Martin. I'm a huge Mike Martin fan. I just said I don't understand why Gator fans are rooting for this man to win the World Series. Well, that's a show of good faith. That's a show from you of being a good person to root for a guy who's your rival. Boy, you flipped that card last night when Durant went down. I might have torn that Achilles tendon. And the booing in Toronto was just beyond nauseating. Where did that come from? I mean, that is terrible. I'll be the first to admit, I hope Tyreek Hill doesn't play against the Jaguars, even though the league is no longer, or he's no longer being investigated for child abuse. I hope he's still suspended. But I don't ever want to see him get hurt. I mean, come on. Draw the line somewhere, people. All right, we got much more to do, including the Juwan Taylor interview coming up in our second hour. But let's get to golf. The United States Open. Ann Liguori will join us from WFAN and CBS Sports Radio. She does an outstanding job covering golf. It is the third major. Brooks Koepka has won two straight United States Opens. We'll come back. We'll get into that as we go into the night with Rick Ballew.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, it's 9 o'clock in Jacksonville. Glad you're with us. Day two of mandatory minicamp tomorrow. Much more from the Jaguars coming up in just a little bit, including my interview with second-round draft pick as Juwan Taylor. That's coming up in just a few. But right now, let's go to the United States Open. This site is beautiful. Monterey, California, the site of the U.S. Open, where I am jealous because Ann Liguori is there. And, of course, 19 years ago, Tiger Woods shocked the world. I was lucky enough to be there back in 2000. Ann is there now covering golf for WFAN as well as CBS Sports. How you doing, Ann?
I am great. We're having quite the heat wave here, and it's just been glorious to see Pebble Beach in sunshine and warmer temperatures. It's just been amazing.
Are you surprised by how many golfers elected not to play there in February? Now, I understand the course really changes now in mid-June, but there are a lot of big-name golfers who elected not to go out there and play earlier this year.
Well, yeah, it's interesting. We were talking about the condensed schedule. So players have to be very careful in strategizing, you know, which tournaments they're going to play, which ones they're going to skip, you know, trying to peak for the majors and, you know, with the movement of the Players' Championship and, you know, the PGA Championship. I just think, I'm not surprised because I just think people are now, the schedule is so condensed, they just have to be a little more careful in planning. So, but yeah, the course is playing a lot different this time of year anyway.
All right, you are at press conferences again today. What's getting more pub now, Tiger 19 years later or Brooks Koepka going after his third straight U.S. Open?
I don't think there's any contest. I think Tiger will always get more publicity. Tiger Woods' room is always packed. His galleries are always 10 to 15, you know, deep. And, yeah, everybody wants to know what Tiger's going to do, whether he's playing, you know, the best or struggling. He still outdraws Brooks Koepka, even though Koepka's starting to get a little more attention, which is good to see.
Yeah, no doubt about that. You know, Brooks hasn't played particularly well at Pebble, and I know he hasn't played out there since I believe it's 2016, and last week at the Canadian Open wasn't a great four rounds for him. So do you make anything of that considering his attitude where obviously he picks it up before huge events?
I know he loves the major. He's a major monster. No, I just think he approaches majors differently. He comes out with his team of people and, you know, he's very focused and he just gets really up for major championships. And it's obvious he's been able to win half of the ones he's played in. 50% is a pretty good stat. I don't really draw anything from that. I look at the, you know, what he did at the PGA Championship and, you know, here, I think he's definitely a favorite with DJ and Rory's playing so well, obviously winning last week. So, if I had to pick three, it would be Brooks, DJ, and Rory right now.
Well, tell you what, three golfers playing extremely well. As you pointed out, Rory McIlroy, a winner 1 week ago. When Tiger won there in 2000, it was so fascinating because I believe he was the only one in red figures. He just dominated the golf course. And, you know, is it safe to say, Ann, that despite everything that he's done, what, 81 wins, 15 majors, that this was his greatest performance?
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, I was here in 2000 as well. I can't imagine. It's 19 years ago. It's so hard to believe.
I know, it's sad.
The field. I know. Where'd the time go? Time flies when you're having fun. But he won by 15 shots. Gosh, he was first to win the U.S. Open with double-digit scores at 12 under. He had the largest lead after 36 holes, the largest lead after 54 holes. He did not three putt the entire, you know, championship. And yeah, he even says it just was just an incredible display of, you know, Tiger's talent. So, you know, when I asked him today, you know, obviously times have changed since he won by so many in 2000. I asked him if he could talk a little bit about his strategy this time around. And he said that part really hasn't changed that much. He said the golf ball is going further, obviously, than it did back in 2000. He said, I'm slower than I was in 2000. But he said, I guess you could say he drives the ball the same distance, which is true. You know, it's really all about approach shot. And he knows that and getting it, you know, keeping the ball on the fairway, obviously, off the tee, and then getting close to the pin. And he's been great with his iron play of late. So I have to say, though, I saw him putting today, practicing. He did not play today.
Right.
And he did not look great. He was struggling making putts on the putting green. So Obviously, I want to watch him a little bit tomorrow, but he said he didn't play today because he just wanted to rest. And, you know, he just, I would not pick Tiger to win this week. I mean, a lot of people obviously want him to win and continue his incredible play from the Masters, but I just don't see it.
Final moment with Ann LaCoury joining us live from Pebble Beach. She, of course, is with WFAN and CBS Sports Golf, joining us here into the night with Rick Ballew. And I don't know if you remember this, but on Friday back in 2000, I think it was around the turn, maybe 10 or 11, where started getting word that Jack Nicklaus could maybe make the cut. And I followed him on that Friday, and I think he was about 135 yards out on 18. He had to hole it in order to make the cut, and he did not. I think he left it 5 feet from the cup and made the putt and finished one over the cut line. But, I mean, everyone remembers Tiger, what he did 19 years ago at the United States Open. I remember Jack Nicklaus trying to make the cut in his final attempt at the U.S. Open.
I love that description. You know, I don't remember Nicklaus hitting that shot, but, boy, that's close.
It was awesome. It was just incredible to see that, you know. But anyway, it's such a wonderful golf course. You know, the people around here, we love our golf down here along the First Coast. As you know, you were here this year for the Players, but that is a slice of heaven out there at Pebble Beach.
It really is. Yeah. And I've played it a number of times, and the first, say, two or three times I've played it, the fog, you know, rolled in early in the morning. It rolled out, thank goodness. But I can remember playing maybe the first five or six holes where I couldn't see, you know, 10 feet in front of me. And that's the kind of weather, you know, they're used to having here, and much chillier weather than we're having so far. So today was just spectacular. And so walking the course, it was so nice, you know, for pictures. And then I saw Phil tee off on the famed par 3 seventh hole, and watched him a little bit. He got to somebody in his group, I'm trying to remember, was it John Rahm, who he was practicing today, got to within about a foot of the hole. And Phil was working on his putting as well. So I think that the interesting story of the day, though, is Jason Day, who is now his caddy is now Steve Williams.
Yeah.
And he just, you know, they just basically did that deal this past weekend. Mm-hmm. So Steve's only been with him now for 3 days.
Right.
And he basically said that Jason Day admitted that he has underachieved, and that he is ready now to really commit more fully to winning more major championships. And he thinks he can do it with Steve Williams, who obviously caddied for Tiger Woods, who caddied for Greg Norman, who caddied for Adam Scott, Raymond Floyd. So Jason Day is looking to Steve Williams and his experience to try to reach, you know, his potential, what he feels he should be winning a lot more major championships. I do too, by the way. I think Jason Day is an extraordinary talent. But Jason, you know, he spends a lot of quality time with his family. And he did say, you know, he hasn't been as motivated. He's been in somewhat of a slump. And he did say that Steve Williams told him that if he, you know, doesn't go all out there and, you know, put in 100%, that Steve Williams will be gone quickly.
Oh, my God. The world we live in, the caddy is going to walk away from a player. Wow.
Exactly. It was just a real fascinating press conference. Jason's always a very good interview, and he's always very honest. But I just thought that was fascinating that, you know, Steve Williams said, listen, Steve really feels he's the one that can help Jason reach his potential. And Jason's banking on that.
Well, I tell you what, Jordan Spieth picked up his play in the last 6 weeks, 2 months. Maybe it's time for Jason Day to do the same thing.
I would like to see, because both are so talented. And, you know, Jason really is such a great player. And he just, you know, he really realizes now he doesn't have, you know, that much time. I mean, not that old, but, you know, the time is now, and you want to really get out there and do the best you can and devote the effort and the time that you need to do it. And when I asked Jason today in the press conference, well, what about your family? Because I know, you know, you're a big family guy.
Mm-hmm.
And they travel with him.
Yes.
And so he gave a really long-winded answer in the press conference about how it's very difficult to balance, you know, the family, being a great father and doing things with the kids.
Right.
And spending the time and effort you need to reach the next level. So he struggles with that. But it was, if you have a chance, you know, read the transcripts from the Jason Day interview or watch some of it. It's just fascinating stuff.
No doubt about it. Ann LaCoury joining us live from Pebble Beach. She's with WFAN and CBS Sports Radio, joining us here with Rick Ballew. Ann, always a lot of fun. Thank you as always.
My pleasure. Anytime, Rick. Have a great night.
There she goes, Ann LaCoury, ladies and gentlemen. Great stuff. The young lady certainly knows an awful lot about the sport of golf, and I enjoy my conversations with her. You know, I am so excited. This is such a great week in sports. I mean, if you really think about it, I mean, tomorrow night is Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals. Okay, the Boston Bruins and the St. Louis Blues. We will now get another game in the NBA Finals. We have the College World Series in baseball beginning this weekend. We have the United States Open for 4 days, including a Sunday, Father's Day, where all dads should be left alone. I'm kidding. But dad should be able to watch the back nine in prime time on Father's Day. And, of course, you've got two more days of mandatory minicamp for the Jaguars. I mean, this is one of the great weeks in sports. Think about that. You got four major championships that are going to be announced. The Stanley Cup tomorrow night, the NBA Finals, the College World Series, and that'll extend, but it gets underway this weekend, and the United States Open. Wow. And people say, well, it's the dog days of June. I'm saying that. I'm taking off. I'll be gone this weekend down to the Keys, taking a week off for vacation. That was something when Jack Nicklaus did that. Folks, listen, there's no need to go anywhere. Okay, play golf here. Play golf in Jacksonville, St. Augustine, Amelia Island. Okay, go to Palm Coast. I mean, you just have phenomenal golf courses around here. I love it. I mean, staycations are in. Play golf here. But if you ever do get the opportunity to go to Monterey, to go to Pebble Beach, it is absolutely breathtaking. And I'm lucky enough that I've been there a couple of times. Now, the weather doesn't always do its part. The weather can be flat nasty. I mean, you know the weather in San Francisco, and you make that drive down through San Jose and Santa Cruz, and it's one of the beautiful drives. I don't remember the highway that you're on, but with the cliffs and looking at the Pacific Ocean, I mean, it is really – I like Northern California better than – well, actually, I love San Diego more than them all, but, I mean, it's great taking that trip from San Fran all the way over to Monterey. So that's this year's United States Open, and – I've been lucky enough to do a lot of cool things, but covering that in 2000 was one of the greatest sporting events that I had ever covered. That was simply amazing because it was a long trip. I was out there all week and getting out of the frigid temperatures of Chicago at the time. Yes, I said frigid, even though it was June in Chicago. That's the way it was. All right, we got much more to do as we continue to go into the night. Let's come back. More on the Jaguars and a couple of other things I do want to get into, and including these fans last night in Toronto. And, you know, maybe you can give me your two cents and an explanation as to why it happened this way. That's all coming up as we go into the night.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, thanks to Ann LaCoury for joining us. CBS Sports Radio, WFAN. Good stuff. Give you some odds coming up in just a little bit. Let me go into Truth Teller News and Notes. Definitely do that. Brooks Koepka trying to win a third straight United States Open. It's just amazing if you think about Koepka holding consecutive United States Opens and PGA Championships. I mean, that is insane. Talking about that second round where Jack Nicklaus needed to hole out to make the cut 19 years ago on a Friday at Pebble Beach. Read an article today about Stevie Williams and mentioned her. He'll now be on the bag, or a caddy term. He'll now pack for Jason Day. Again, caddy term. Or a loop for Jason Day. How about the world of being a caddy? He is not grandma. He's a caddy. From Caddyshack. You're too young to know that, aren't you, LeVay?
I've seen Caddyshack before. Absolutely. That's a classic.
Right. Spalding, it's Danny Noonan. Down on the dock, down at the yacht club. And they ask him if he's a captain or something. He is not grandma. He's a caddy. That's Spalding who makes that comment. But can you imagine being a caddy in being so powerful that you can say to a golfer like Jason Day, who for the most part is a top 10 golfer, I know his world ranking is way down right now, but get your act together or I'm gone? That is bizarre. But anyway, that's the world we live in. But on that Friday, I read an article today that on that same Friday where Nicklaus tried to hole out, that Tiger only had one ball left. Somehow they didn't have enough balls in his bag. It's on ESPN, talking about Stevie Williams, who was packing then for Tiger Woods. Second round at the 2000 United States Open. That he was down to his last golf ball, and that's a two-stroke penalty on the PGA Tour. He was playing the old Nike ball then. What else does he have in his golf bag? Besides 10,000 ladies' phone numbers. And what else is Tiger going to have? I mean, how can he only have one golf ball left? I mean, are you kidding me? This is Tiger Woods. I mean, Nike gave him absolutely everything that he ever could have wanted. So I thought that was a crazy story that came out. I want to get to Juwan Taylor, but I want to do that in about 45 seconds because why did Toronto do what they did last night? Honestly. I mean, it's so Philly-like. It is. Philly's the one fan base that you can snap your leg in half and they're going to point you and laugh. It is just so terrible. I mean, that is just the worst. So instead of ripping Toronto and going all through this and going all through that, I just honestly want to know. And by the way, you can hide on the 1010XL text line. Do you wish for athletes to get injured in general? I mean, I gave an example earlier. Tyreek Hill, I hope he's suspended against the Jags on opening day. If you can take advantage of something along those lines, okay. Or if you hear like someone's sick. That's basically where I draw the line, being sick. He's got a bug. He's out for 24 hours or whatever. But do you ever really wish injury? I mean, come on, be honest with me. I'm not going to call you out by name. You can hide on the text line. 641-1010. Be honest with me. Do you wish injury on your opponent? I mean, here's Durant, who's missed the entire series. Pulls up lame and goes down, and the place absolutely exploded. Boy, was that just... And, you know, we credit some of the Toronto players for doing their bid, you know, their bid by... You know, not trying to, you know, get the crowd to taper down somewhat. I mean, even in your fiercest rival, okay, you know, when you have Florida Georgia right here in town, or when the Jags are hosting Tennessee, I'm not going to say you're a scumbag if that's the way that you root. I just want to know. It can't be just in Philadelphia and in Toronto. There's got to be some of those juices running through your veins and running through your arteries as well. There has to be. I'm not going to sit here and accept the fact that that stuff happens all the time in Philadelphia. They boo their own in Philadelphia. And they threw batteries at Santa Claus. They boo the national anthem. But as I've said many times before, that's the lowest common denominator of a human being. Just a trashy, awful, and you really can't blame Philadelphia people. They were born that way. They were born angry. That's just the way that they live. But I'd like to know around here if that's the case. No, I mean, hey, listen. Julian Edelman didn't play last year when New England came here. I had no problem with that. Missed four games with a PED. He should sit out. But if Tom Brady snapped his leg, would you have stood up and cheered? You got Kansas City coming in here. Tyreek Hill, if you want to make the guy, if you want to make a case that it's a guy who should be hurt, it's him because he's allegedly punched a woman. But if he's suspended because of this, good. I'd like him to be suspended. The Jaguars have a better chance of winning. But if Patrick Mahomes snaps his leg in the middle of TIAA Bank, are you going to stand up and cheer? I don't know. I mean, these guys put so much effort into it. This is their livelihood. This is everything for them. I just never have wished injury. I wish, you know, about anything and everything to happen in games when I'm pulling for teams that I love outside of injury. Just can't go that route. Anyway, let me know. Hide behind the 1010XL text line. Hide behind it. It's built by Lifetime Enclosures. You're protected there. Tell me what you think about that. 641-1010. All right, Juwan Taylor. Had a chance to catch up with him today. Second-round draft pick of the Jags. Again, it's hard early on throughout this process because they're not hitting. But I will say this. For an offensive lineman, he's really put together. I mean, the body looks fantastic for an offensive, for a young offensive lineman. It's a better body than Luke Jokel. It's a better body than Cam Robinson. It's a good-looking body, in my opinion. Now, obviously, we want to see the feet. We want to see the reach. We want to find out how intelligent he is, how he learns, how he understands, his stamina, all of that. But the eye test, certainly he passes when talking about Juwan Taylor, selected in the second round out of the University of Florida. Are we back on? What did we get, a little dance? Was that was a little dance music there. That was not Juwan Taylor, who, you know, as I referenced, has a pretty decent body, so maybe he is a good dancer out on the floor. I'll ask him that the next time I get an opportunity to talk with him. All right, so apparently that interview is not in the system. Instead, we had a little bit of that sounded like the combination of who am I thinking of here? The Dynamo Hum. Spend 3 hours and I ain't got a crumb from the Dynamo Hum. That's Frank Zappa. Yeah, it was a little bit of Frank Zappa music there. Do we have it or are we still without? We're still without. All right, we'll just run it tomorrow night then because we do want to get to news and notes coming up after the bottom of the hour. But I will say this, talking with Juwan Taylor today, I enjoyed the conversation with him. And, you know, if he can come in and be a starter there at right tackle and hold on to that position for years down the road, just think how much of a positive that is for the Jaguars to have two bookend tackles You know, and I know there's so much to really look at right now when investigating the left side as well for Cam Robinson, because he wasn't healthy a year ago. But he gets ready for year three. And, you know, the development and everything that's going on, if you look at, you know, the return to center, Brandon Linder, and then, you know, you get the left guard and Andrew Norwell, who was working on the side today. You know, Linder's the only one who's back. Robinson working on the side, Norwell now. Working on the side. A.J. Cann, obviously, back. And we're seeing a bunch of things. We're seeing Cedric Ogbuehi play both the left side and right side. Josh Wells on the left side. And, obviously, we're seeing as well the rookie there, Juwan Taylor, playing on the right side as well. So, when we come back, we'll find our way through that. But we'll also get to news and notes. We do that each and every night right here on the program. Blue with you till 10. Then it will be Denny Thompson and James Coleman. It'll be the Sports Den. They take over tonight beginning at 10 o'clock on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, news and notes brought to you by TruckCrashLaw.com. Coming up in about two minutes or so. Let's play that Juwan Taylor interview. Caught up with him today after day one of Jaguars' mandatory minicamp.
Here with Juwan Taylor. I know it's tough to tell a lot of things without, you know, getting in the ditch and contact and things on those lines, mm-hmm. but how's the last 3 weeks gone?
It's going pretty good, you know, just really adjusting and learning every single day. Learning the playbook, learning the game speed of the NFL, but it's a lot of fun.
What's the major change coming from Florida to this in the NFL besides speed?
Really just playbook. You know, you got to learn a whole new playbook, a lot more checks, a lot more calls. You just got to be able to lock in and focus.
What's it like to be playing now next to a guy like Nick Foles? I mean, 30 years old, Super Bowl MVP, and, you know, he comes in and the expectations change within the organization. What's it like for you as a rookie?
Just a blessing, you know, to be able to come in and play with a great guy like that and a great leader as well. So, you know, look forward to playing with him. Great guy, great leader.
You know, this offensive line, four of them return, then there's yourself. So the whole gelling process and, you know, majority of them were hurt a year ago, but what's that process like to come in and learn their strengths, their weaknesses, and the things that they're able to do?
Really just come in and learn every single day, you know, soak up everything they teach me. You know, there are a lot of great guys, you know, they all work hard, and, you know, they teach me something every single day.
Leonard Fournette's been here. He's also missed some time. What about some of the other backs? Have you noticed any of them? Have they stood out for you?
They all stand out. They're all great guys, a lot of great backs. You know, we got to open up a lot of holes for them this year. You know, I'm looking forward to that.
All right, Juwan, thank you.
Appreciate it.
All right, condensed conversation with Juwan Taylor, an impressive young man. And, you know, we'll see. I think the feeling in camp so far is that, oh boy, he's done okay. But obviously, until the pads go on, you just can't tell anything about the offensive line. And that is so huge this year. Kind of went through all those scenarios, glass half full, glass half empty, when we were talking about wide receivers and running backs earlier. Well, certainly the offensive line comes into play there. And the first thing you look at is health. But then you really look at guys being more than just healthy. How good can they really be? Andrew Norwell is the highest paid left guard in the NFL. He needs to be playing in Pro Bowl form. Cam Robinson, many thought was a first round talent. They got him in the second round. He needs to play that way. You know, he plays well this year, then bam, he's 1 year away from a big contract as a future left tackle in the NFL. It's a huge year for him. And Brandon Linder's got a major cap number coming up soon. You know, what are the Jaguars going to do? We just keep talking about the Unique Ngakoue situation. They're going to restructure a deal, Boye. They're going to restructure Brandon Linder. You restructure those deals, and it almost becomes certain that they're around next year. So just some things to consider. That offensive line obviously has to get healthy. They have to be more than healthy. They have to really produce. Now, I was looking at it. I was actually surprised by this. It was in a graphic that I saw over the weekend that the 2017 Jacksonville Jaguars, over the last 15 years, they rank second overall in rushing. Only the 2018 Seattle Seahawks in the last 15 years rushed more per game, season totals. The 2018 Seahawks ran for 160 yards a game. Russell Wilson contributed a lot to that. Hey, Blake Bortles contributed, I think he contributed around 35, 40 yards a game or something crazy like that in 2017. To go back and look at it, but I really think he did. Then you had the Bills in 16 and 15. This is by years. There were a couple of teams that ranked higher than the Jaguars, 141 yards. So I apologize for that. I'm looking at leading the league as a team. And Buffalo did it the 2 years prior. It was Seattle back in 2014. But for the most part, you know, I guess outside of Buffalo, you go back to Denver, you go back to Kansas City, you go to some Atlanta years, certainly the Giants in 2008. Leading the league in rushing means that, for the most part, you are going to be a playoff team, maybe even a deep playoff team. But team rushing over the last 15 years, the Jaguars obviously able to do that 2 years ago when they led the NFL in rushing. All right, let's get to some other things. Truth Teller News and Notes brought to you by truckcrashlaw.com. A ton of things happening in the world of sports. College World Series, Florida State, Arkansas, Saturday at 7. That'll be on ESPN. Of course, all these games in Omaha. Michigan will take on Texas Tech. That's the Lid Lifter Saturday at 2. Louisville and Vanderbilt at 2 on Sunday. Then Auburn and Mississippi State Sunday at 7:30. Just filled with ACC and SEC schools. Three from the ACC and, or two from the ACC, excuse me, four from the SEC. Then you have a Big Ten school in Michigan and, of course, Texas Tech, who's going back to the College World Series for the fourth time in 6 years. On the Big Diamond, how about the Diamondbacks and Phillies last night? They combined for 13 home runs. I don't know what baseball is going to do, but we keep on hearing that attendance is down, ratings are down. We used to be told that chicks dig the long ball. 13 home runs in one game last night between Arizona and Philadelphia. This is just nuts. It is a little bit disturbing, and maybe I'm just disappointed because the Red Sox have already blown 10 games this year via the bullpen. I promised everyone out there, including on Twitter, that I would not complain this year about the Red Sox because they won the World Series a year ago. And damn it, I'm going to stick to it. They're also getting blown out tonight, 9-4, by the Texas Rangers. But I told you, it was like a week ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, I talked with a member of the media out there, and we were just talking baseball. He's like, man, I hate baseball right now. I'm like, what? What's wrong with you? He's like, I just hate the game. It's like you just watch it, and it's like home runs and strikeouts. It's like no first to third anymore. And, you know, we kind of went back and we talked about it, and he made an interesting point. Now, I love the game. It's like a favorite son to me. I don't have a son. I have daughters. But if I had a son, I probably would name him baseball. Okay? I just love it. I love the game. But he really made some interesting points that it's not baseball that we watched growing up. And I know that all elder statesmen say that about everything in the world. It's kind of accurate, man. We don't see a lot of triples anymore. We don't see bunts. We don't see sacrifice flies. We don't see moving runners over. I'm not a fan of the way that they line up now defensively with these switches. You know, everything's in the book now. Everything's analytical. You never go by a hunch. You never go by just a gut feeling. It's, oh, no, you know. This guy's 1-for-18 lifetime after the seventh inning against left-handed pitchers. You know, they have graphics on everything. Football does the same thing. Anyway, interesting stuff there. Former Jaguar Zane Beatles retired from the NFL today after 9 years. Boy, he was a bust. Nice man, but he's out. The Texans are targeting Patriots director of personnel Nick Caserio for the general manager job. That'd be a huge cue for them if they were able to lure him in to be the GM. They asked to speak with him 18 months ago. The Patriots denied it. It's like the Raiders are going to get Hard Knocks. I think we all envisioned this. We talked about it. Only five teams were eligible. Jay Gruden threw his brother under the bus. But let's face it, this is the one that makes the most sense. It's the final year in Oakland. So that in itself is going to be pretty intriguing. But if you just look at all the personalities and everything that could happen, this is the best fit. I had a tiny little interest in the New York Giants only because of the whole quarterback situation and kind of D.C. as well because of Dwayne Haskins, and you never know what's going to be said with Dan Snyder. Actually, what I really wanted to see more than anything in New York would have been Dave Gettleman, who, you know, anything that comes out of his mouth, I don't know if we can believe it. That would have been pretty interesting, but this is the right decision. Going with the Oakland Raiders. Adam Schefter tweeting that a little bit earlier tonight. They will be on Hard Knocks. Finally, old friend Alan Hearns running routes now in Dallas. We all remember the devastating injury that he did suffer early this year, early in 2019. They believe he's going to be full go and ready to give it his all come training camp for the Dallas Cowboys. How about that? Gotta love it for Alan Hearns. No question about it. All right, news and notes each and every evening right here on 1010XL 92.5 FM, brought to you by TruckCrashLaw.com. They are the only law firm in the state of Florida where this is their expertise, and this is all they do. If someone you know has been injured or it was even fatal and it happened out on the road, because of a tractor trailer, a truck, an RV, a bus, anything along those lines, make sure they are aware of truckcrashlaw.com. Outstanding people. They're the only folks in the state of Florida that does it this way, okay? And they're based right here in Jacksonville. And again, they're really good people. Just go to truckcrashlaw.com. Real quick, before this, I just wanted to mention it, and I'll talk about it again tomorrow night, because I said I would after we had Ian LaGorry on. Kepka's an 8-1 to win this year's United States Open. He hasn't played at Pebble Beach since 2016 and has never really played that golf course that well. Dustin Johnson's 9-1 with Rory, who won last week at the Canadian Open. Tiger Woods, 12-1 now. Yeah, of course, he won it there in the year 2000. Then all of a sudden you look at Jordan Spieth, 18-1. Patrick Cantlay, a recent winner. Justin Rose, 22-1. Some other notables you may be interested in. Talked about Jason Day, 25-1 now, as Stevie Williams will now be his caddy on his bag. That came down this week. And Ricky Fowler at 25-1 as well. Those are the latest odds for Pebble Beach in the United States Open.
Now, the 2-minute drill delivered by Moe's Southwest Grill.
Welcome to Moe's!
At Moe's, our caterings come with a heaping side of peace of mind, not to mention the free chips and salsa, delivery, and setup. Visit MoesCateringFL.com.
All right, James Coleman is here. It's time for the Sports Den.
What's going on, man?
What's up? What's up? What's up?
So Alan Hearns still hurt?
Alan Hearns running routes, man. Boy, after that injury. Whew.
Yeah.
That was awful.
Yeah. I like him. We don't like his mom very much, but we like him, though.
I don't remember the mom.
Yeah, nah, just yeah. We Sports Den got some history, but he's a good guy though.
I always liked that.
Yeah, he's a good kid though.
He is. What do you think about booing in the in sports in general?
It happens.
Cheering when someone gets injured.
I think that's uncalled for, but I think it was the most Canadian type of cheering when somebody gets injured ever. Like. They cheered for like 2 seconds, and then all of a sudden they chanted his name out, and then they did other stuff. I think it's just they understood that KD was the only person that could probably beat them. Like, this Golden State team was assembled. Like, originally were good, but then they couldn't beat one superstar, essentially, in LeBron. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they know that with KD, they can't beat him. But without KD, their chances are a lot high.
No doubt about it.
But, it's wrong. I mean, you should never want anybody to get – it's just a sport to get seriously injured.
Yeah. I mean, you got to draw the line somewhere.
I drew the line with Golden State. They should have never brought him back in.
No.
I remember it. I thought he tore his Achilles the first time. I guess they tried to say it was a calf strain. Mm-hmm. And man, you don't come back from that that quick. That's a tough injury. And for him to go out there just shows his toughness and what he wants to do for the team. But at a certain point, the team's got to look out for their investments and their players as well.
Jalen, today, there's always money out there, my
that
guy.
That was awesome, man. I was like, that is funny, man.
That was hilarious.
It was interesting, his approach to the media. I liked it. It was confident. Yeah. It was to the point. It wasn't glowing and warm, but it wasn't, like, negative. But
no.
I thought it was interesting when he made that statement from jump. Because it was kind of like nobody. Then Jalen, they don't want me to have my contract. Well, Jalen, you picked up your fifth year. We kind of figured that that was probably not going to happen this year, but thanks for – you must be telling us this for a reason. So,
yeah, and – I swallow the bait by asking him, you know, he's a smart guy. Obviously, he's got to be aware that they just can't hand out money right now unless they restructure some contracts or unless they cut some more starters. And you heard his answer. There's always money out there.
Yeah, there's people like Darius. Did Calais' contract get restructured yet?
Yeah.
They just talked about it.
Yeah, they talked about it. And, you know, then obviously, you know, you could redo Boye.
Mm-hmm.
You can redo Brandon Linder. Darius has got a $20 million cap figure next year with, I think, only $2 million of dead money. So this is it for Marcell Darius.
Right, yeah. Rightfully yeah. so.
So you got a lot of that coming up today. You guys are out there. You'll be talking about minicamp.
Yeah, we're talking about minicamp. This is my first time going to a minicamp since I was in a minicamp.
Really?
So, I mean, it was interesting and – you know, I have some perspective and some stuff that I saw, some things that I like, some things that I didn't like, some things in college football. Dabo Swinney in the news for a comment that he made he probably shouldn't have made, but it was I understand where he's coming from, being a history guy and what he was trying to say. But also, my hate o'clock will probably be Clemson fans.
Really?
And, you know, when you're on top, they don't know how to be on Bama fans. Aren't bad. They just been used to being on top. Nobody's going to poke at them. Clemson fans are just going around looking for reasons to be mad. So we'll talk about that a little bit. FSU news, recruiting news, some of all the different things that we're getting into with the sports thing.
Got a chance to get this DB punt return guy out of Colorado? A little bit of talk about that. You know, I guess he's only a 3-star, but I guess it's Oklahoma or Florida State with an opportunity to bring him in. That'd be pretty interesting. We'll see what ends up happening there.
I mean, anytime you can get some talent, 3-star, I don't really – either you can play college football or you can't play college football, in my mind.
Yeah. All right, James Coleman coming up right now along with Denny Thompson. That is going to do it. Matt LaVey produced the program. Thank you to everyone who joined us tonight. Juwan Taylor, obviously, and Ian Liguori, who joined us a little bit earlier as well from Pebble Beach, the very latest as to what is happening out there. Again, this is one of the greatest weeks of the year in sports. I mean, you people need to shake yourself. You got freaking Game 7 tomorrow night of the Stanley Cup Finals between Boston and St. Louis. You got the NBA Finals. We'll crown a champion there. This week, you have the start of the College World Series this weekend, and you have the United States Open. We got 4 championships we're handing out this week, and we still have 2 days of Jaguars minicamp early tomorrow morning and then again on Thursday. We'll talk to you then. For Matt LaVey, I am Rick Ballew. Tomorrow night from 7 to 9 on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention?
Was any explanation given to you as why? I mean, they don't have the money now that they've had in years past.
The money's always there, my guy.